Does money buy happiness? And we're going to be getting a unique perspective right now from a regular guest on Channel Islam International, life coach, Brother Mirza Yawar Beg, joining us from India this morning. Brother Mirza, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm going to keep the question very simple, very open. It's a broad question, something that has perplexed the human mind. An unanswered question for some right up till now, and that is, Brother Mirza, does money buy happiness? Your take?
My take on this is, does money buy happiness? Yes, money does buy happiness. The issue is, and the reason for confusion, is what we consider to be happiness. I believe that there are two kinds of hungers. There is a hunger of the body, and there is a hunger of the soul or the spirit. Now, what people do with money is that they try to look for happiness by fulfilling the hunger of the body through money. So by more indulgence, by more consumption, by buying more things and by doing more things. So they go from sensation to sensation looking for the ultimate kick. Now, the problem is that that's not where happiness is. Whereas, if you look at money and how money can buy happiness, in the context of, for example, what the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain did the money of Abu Bakr, Uthman ibn Affan or Abdurrahman ibn Auf, did that money buy them happiness? Answer is yes, because they look for happiness in the place where happiness exists, and that happiness is in the work of the deen. So we have to, when you say does money buy happiness, the answer is yes, money can buy happiness, but you have to look for happiness in the right place, where happiness is. And where is happiness? Happiness is in the work, is in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah bi zikrillahi tatmainul qulub. So the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the work of the deen, is where happiness exists. So can money buy happiness? Yes, but you have to go to the right shop. And the right shop is the khidmat of this deen, because that is where, when that money is used for that. Now, to give you an example from today's world, take the two richest people in the world, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, two richest people in the world, lots of money. Where are they looking for happiness? They are looking for happiness in charity. They're going around the world now. They have set up a charitable foundation of $38 billion, and then they are now going around the world talking to billionaires in different countries about, they're supposed to come to India shortly, and saying, give your money in charity. Why? Because it buys you happiness. Now look at that. They're using money to buy happiness, and it may not give them hidayah, so they also get jannah in the process. But they want to buy happiness, but they have understood that happiness is not in buying more gold-plated Cadillacs or buying more private jets with jacuzzis in them, or you know, building bigger palaces. But the happiness lies in giving it away. Happiness lies in using money to make other people happy. So can money buy happiness? Yes. How? By using that money to take away the pain and the suffering and the sadness from other people's lives. So the more you give that money to help other people, the more happiness it buys you. But instead of that, if you take this money and you use it to buy more and more stuff, then stuff only adds cost. Possessions add cost. Possessions don't add value. And that is why possessions cannot buy happiness. So that's my take on this thing, to say, does money buy happiness? Yes, it can, except that like anything else, you have to go to the right shop. And that shop is in the khidmat of the deen, and it is not in buying more and more possessions.
Well, I never ever thought it would be so easy, and you could sum it up in so few words. But just to explore that a bit further, this vicious circle that people find themselves, you know, entering, which Allah mentions in Surah Takathur, Al-Hakumut Takathur, the man's desire for more and more would only be satisfied once he actually bites the dust and goes into the grave. How does one find that contentment that, you know, as much as one has, being happy with that and not desiring more all the time?
All right. I see, Ibrahim, two things. One is, and I said, there are two kinds of hunger. There's a hunger of the world, and there's a hunger of the hunger of the belly or the body, and there's a hunger of the spirit. Now, the hunger of the body is driven by two things, fear and greed. These are the two things that drive the hunger of the body, fear and greed. Fear that tomorrow I will not have enough. fear that tomorrow I will starve to death, or fear that tomorrow my business will collapse, or it will, you know, it will suffer a loss or something. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Tawbah, Allah actually mentions this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمْوَالٌ يَتَّرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةً تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا. Allah says, this is something that you expect your business to suffer a loss. So this is the fear, and that fear is what drives the hunger of this body. Second thing is greed. I want more and more and more. And that greed is also looped back and linked back to the fear, because somewhere there is this thing that if I have enough, and we have no definition for this enough, subhanAllah, if I have enough, then I will be free from, then I will be happy, then I will be free from fear. But just think about this. When the New York Stock Exchange takes a dip and drops 10 points, there are many people who take a dive from the 20th floor or the 30th floor. But you know, when that guy hits the ground, when he hits the pavement from the 20th floor, that fellow who hits the pavement is still worth $50 million. And now think about that. Here is a man who's got $50 million, but he is on the point of despair because he has notionally lost something. Because after all, the stock exchange is not real. It's not like he's counting you know, gold coins. It is all notional in the head that this is my net worth and how it has fluctuated, now it's gone down. Now, with that, just that fear, he is driven to the point of despair of committing suicide. Now, what is it that is really happening? The thing is this fear and greed. This fear and greed is a vicious circle. Now, there is a, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in everything, in every, you know, even something which is apparently shar, there is khair. Now, this fear and greed also drives the world. Now, if you think about this, if there was no fear and if there was no greed, one way of, to put a positive spin on it, people wouldn't go to work. I mean, why would you go to work? Why would you, you know, build a business at all? Why would you want to do anything in terms of monetary progress or in terms of economic progress? There's no need. I mean, you know, I have no need at all. I'm absolutely content. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the khairul razaqeen. And tomorrow if I get one, you know, chapati, I'm fine. So then I don't have to do anything. Then the whole world would come to a halt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even put this fear and greed, because it is his mashiach that this world should run. So therefore, there is, people are running. But that's not that's not a good reason for a Muslim to work. Or it's not a good reason for somebody who understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go behind his dunya. Not for fear and greed. Because we don't have fear for the simple reason that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khairul razaqeen, and Allah and our rizq has been fixed. So therefore, we do not go to earn because we fear starvation. We will not. That's not our fear. Second thing is greed. We don't want to have greed, and we don't have greed because we know that the more we have, the more hisab we have to give. So why have more to give more hisab? So therefore, there's no need for greed. Now, then, why should we work? Why should we earn? Two very good reasons, and Islamically correct. One reason, we earn to build great, global, iconic businesses in order to showcase Islam in the world. And we say, here is a $50 billion company, which is a Muslim company, which is free from riba. It has no interest in it. And that is a halal business. And this is run by a Muslim family or Muslim management. And this is an icon, a global iconic business, which is an example of what a Muslim business should be like. Highly responsible socially. The employees are very happy because they are treated very well. And the business is huge and massive. So it has a lot of power to influence society for the good. That is the reason to work. Why would I want to become a billionaire? Because I want to influence society positively and bring people and make people obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one reason to work. Second reason to work is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers the hand above to the hand below, the hand which gives to the hand which takes. And therefore, if a Muslim is wealthy, it's a very good thing that if he has halal wealth, then he can spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Halal wealth is not to spend it on yourself in israf. Alhamdulillah, Islam does not prohibit us from using halal wealth for, in halal ways. So if we live in a good house, or we drive a good car, or, you know, we buy, of course, buying jewelry for the wife is even sadaqah. So I strongly recommend all my rich brothers to buy, right now at the end of the program, go buy some diamonds for the lady. I mean, you know, that is sadaqah. And Allah will reward you, inshallah. But the point is that we have a lot of money, alhamdulillah. This money can be used to spread happiness in the world. Take away put smiles back on the faces of people. Take away the frowns and the sadness and the tears. Wipe the tears of the orphans and the widows. Wipe the tears of the people who are poor. So SubhanAllah, how many people they don't have food to eat. If we have money, how can money buy happiness? Happiness is in seeing the smile on somebody else's face. And how can money buy that? Because money can put that smile on his face by taking away his fear, by taking away his needs, by taking away his anxiety and his pain and his suffering. That is what money can do. So instead of falling into a vicious circle where we go from fear to greed and back to fear and back to greed, we go into a positive cycle, which is a cycle of love and hope. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope for his Jannah. And how do we do that? By using this money in these positive ways. We create great businesses, we create great countries, we create great people in order that they may become standard bearers of Islam, that people may look up to them as benchmarks and icons. And on the other hand, we also take this money and we spend it to put smiles back on the face of other people. That is my concept of how money can buy happiness, inshallah.
And Brother Yawar, finally, for people on the other end of the spectrum, for people who are poverty-stricken, can they be happy and content as well without any outside intervention? Because there are traditions, there are hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he actually prayed for protection from poverty.
Absolutely. You know, poverty is not something that that is good, or poverty is obviously we don't ask for. We don't ask Allah to make us poor. Poverty is, subhanAllah, it's a big test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how many positive things we might say about it, but it's a very big test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in the worst case, it forces you to ask from others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there are the awliya of Allah who, in spite of that, they do not ask from anyone other than Allah. But how many of them, at least certainly not normal people or common people like me, if we are pushed to that extent, we will go and beg people. And this is a very bad thing. So one of the things is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in that situation, in this test of poverty, then number one is we straighten our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because one of the reasons for poverty is sin. Now, I'm not saying every poor person is sinful. I'm just saying that one of the reasons for poverty is sin, and we know this from the Ahadith of Nabawiyah. So therefore, we straighten our life and bring our life in line with the orders of Ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunan of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second thing is we exercise sabr, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have sabr, then Allah says, Allahu ma'a sabirin, and if Allah is with the one who has sabr, then obviously He will take away that person's difficulty. So we have sabr. Third thing is we make effort, because a lot of times, again, this is not a general statement, there are people who are in desperate situations which are not their fault, but many times a reason of people don't have money is because they don't make effort. They are lazy, they won't go to work, they don't study, they don't want to study, they just want to live off their families, or they want to live off society somehow. That's the reason why they are poor. It's not because they have been inflicted by poverty because of external forces. If that is the case, then it's very important the person should wake up and straighten out his life and say, I have to go to work. If I have to study, I have to study. If I want to learn a trade, I want to learn a trade. And I have to, make the effort involved. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ لِلْإِنْسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. For a person, there is only what he earns. And therefore, we have to make effort to earn and ensure that we make enough money for us to live with respect. Because one of the biggest problems of poverty is a loss of self-respect. Because once you have to extend your hand to somebody to ask, then your self-respect is gone, and that's a terrible thing. So I think that is very important for us if you are in poverty. And then if you are in poverty, for example, like take the people in Gaza and so forth, where they are poor not because of laziness or because they don't want to work, but subhanAllah, because of the external infliction of the invaders and the oppressors who keep them in that state. May Allah protect them and relieve their difficulty and release them from the suffering that has been imposed on them. In that situation, we make sabr, we make dua, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help. And those are the people who truly deserve the help of those of us who have the money. And inshallah, we ask whoever has the money to go look for such people. And the Quran has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran as well as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have strongly encouraged us to go and look for such people and give them, and especially people who are the masakeen, who will not ask, but they are in need, to go and search for them and give them from whatever we have. Islam, the whole issue of money and so forth, I think we have to also remember and realize that Islamically, we have to look at the Muslim society in which it's a complete closed circle of the giver and the taker. So there is a joint responsibility on the poor person, of course, to have sabr, but also there is a responsibility for the rich person to go looking for people who are in need and to fulfill their need. It's not for the person who's rich to simply sit there and say, yes, I think you should make sabr. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. That's not the purpose. The one who has, who does not have, he must make sabr, no doubt. But also, without his asking, the one who has must go looking for him, must find him, and must do what it takes. And of course, as I said, people, you know, we must work hard and we must try and ensure that our lives are in line with the Sharia and the Sunnah, because one of the reasons for poverty is sin. Sin is a very bad thing, and I think we sometimes take it easy and we think that, I commit sin, okay, I'm going to make tawbah. And the effect of sin is not only in the Akhirah, if Allah forgive us, but if Allah does not forgive us, then in the Akhirah, definitely people who commit sin will be punished. But the effect of sin is in this dunya itself. Sin takes away, sin makes you weak, and sin takes away the barakah from life, and sin takes away the barakah from your wealth, and sin produces unhappiness, and sin produces conflict in life. And all of this happens because we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a famous story from the seerah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, where he sent a letter to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu and before the battle of Qadisiyah, where he said to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he said, tell your order your soldiers to protect themselves from sin, because sin is the greatest weakener of the soldier. He said sin produces weakness. If you want victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, victory comes only to the people who are pious, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wallahu ma'al muttaqeen. Allah is with the muttaqeen and with the people who do ihsan. Inna Allah ma'al ladhina taqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the last ayat of Surah An-Nahl, Allah said, inna Allah ma'al ladhina taqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun. Allah is with the people of taqwa and the people of ihsan, the people who practice excellence in all that they do. And the primary definition of excellence is with relation to salah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hadith Jibreel, the explanation that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave with regard to salah, where he said, worship as if you can see Allah, and if you cannot see Allah, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. And so that is the thing to remember if we are in a situation of hardship where we do not have money.
Alhamdulillah, and I really appreciate your time you spent with us this morning bringing those issues related to money into perspective. Brother Mirza Yawar Beg joining us this morning from India. Shukran jazilan for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.